Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast on a Monday. Dan Lobby, Mary Kate Cabot, Ashley Bastock. We're recording this about noon on Monday, and we're going to start the week off by talking about what else? The quarterback position, because the Browns just keep making news at the quarterback position. So over the weekend, they agreed to a contract with Tyler Huntley. Browns fans know Tyler Huntley pretty well. They saw him play some games against the Browns. I think that's actually driven the discourse on this move a little bit, is the fact that Browns fans are intimately familiar with Tyler Huntley. They've actually watched him play some football games. They were probably watching that game in week 18 too, when he started against the Steelers, when the Ravens had nothing to play for. So Browns fans know this guy pretty well. A lot to get into, kind of a lot to unpack with this move, Mary Kay. Let's just start here. Let's just put this to rest. And by the time people hear this, maybe it's a moot point anyway. But let's just make it clear. There's not some big conspiracy theory here with Jameis Winston. The Browns are not signing Tyler Huntley because it has nothing to do with the fact that Jameis, as we're recording this, has not been officially announced. This is just a move to bring in another quarterback. It doesn't affect Jameis as the backup at all, right?
That's absolutely correct, Dan. And all you really have to do is look at the money to realize what this is all about. It's a one-year deal worth a veteran minimum. Now, there are some incentives built into the contract in the event that he does get on the field, but this is not about Jameis Winston, who we know has agreed to terms on a $4 million contract with an opportunity to make up to $4.7 million on top of that. So no, this is not about Jameis Winston. It's about filling up the quarterback room with another quarterback, another dual threat quarterback, whom they feel is a good fit and has some developmental prospects. And the other thing to consider here that I think a lot of people forget about is that PJ Walker is no longer here. PJ Walker became a free agent. They are not re-signing him. And so this gives them four quarterbacks just the same way that they had last year in the offseason. And of course, those four are Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, Ashley, and again, I think this just goes back to, like, you know, we were kind of joking around. There were some things said about Tyler Huntley on this podcast a few seasons ago.
I know. By me.
Yeah, well, I think Doug said some things too. I mean, look, we came away from a certain Tyler Huntley start really impressed with Tyler Huntley.
So, well, it wasn't even a start. It was the game in 2021 where Lamar took the hard hit from JOK and hurt his ankle, and did he not play again the rest of that season, or like
that
barely
was
played?
That was the end of Lamar.
I mean, he was out for a while after that.
Yeah. So I think there's some, again, I think Browns fans have seen a lot of Lamar Huntley. As far as other teams' backups go, they've seen more of Tyler Huntley. They've seen more of Tyler Huntley than most other teams' backup quarterbacks. I just made everyone's point for them. So again, I understand why people might look at this move and be like, oh, I know that guy. But again, I think it's getting overrated just a little bit because of that.
Yeah, again, I don't think there was much of a market for Tyler Huntley out there. The fact that the Browns were able to get him on that one-year deal, veteran minimum, it's like, why not? And yes, I think in 2021 there when Tyler Huntley got to shine in spurts. He didn't win a ton of games, but I think people were impressed. I remember that game he came in for Lamar Jackson in Cleveland that the Browns ended up winning. I remember Jadeveon Clowney. This is like one of the non, you know, I want to get out of Cleveland quotes from Jadeveon Clowney that I remember. He made the comment after that game that he was running around so much, we wished they would bring Lamar back out, right? So Cleveland fans, I think, saw some of the best of Tyler Huntley, even though he didn't win those games. So that's driving the discourse. But I also was like, hey, they had four guys on their roster at this time last year. We were talking about that before we started recording, right? So it was Deshaun Watson, Joshua Dobbs, DTR, and Kellen Mond. So this just seems like kind of standard. It's what you do. The roster doesn't have to be cut down to 53 immediately. So why not? If you can get a guy who, yeah, has some good developmental traits, like, why not? Especially with what you went through with quarterback last year and the injuries that happened.
Yeah, so that's the other piece of this, Mary Kay, is the Deshaun Watson piece. And again, I don't think this is some big, like, oh my God, we should panic about Deshaun Watson and his progress with this surgery. Having four quarterbacks is normal. You have to have these, you know, you have long practices, you have a bunch of reps to divide up, you have a bunch of preseason games to get through. Somebody's got to be able to take these reps, and you don't want Deshaun Watson, you don't want to overdo it with him. You want to be cautious with him. So having four quarterbacks is pretty normal, and this is kind of just a way to help protect Deshaun Watson too, so you're not putting too much on his plate when it's time to start playing football again.
Yes, they need to be cautious with him. They need to err on the side of caution and give him all the time that he needs to heal. There's no reason to be rushing him back into anything. He doesn't have to be throwing in the offseason program. He can take it easy. He can continue for a while to rehab out in Los Angeles. Now, he is going to be starting to throw soon. I don't know if that's going to be at some point this week or if it's going to be next week, but we always heard it was going to be in March, or I always heard it was going to be in March. So it's going to happen soon. And I do know that his quarterback's coach, his private quarterback's coach, Quincy Avery, is going to be going out there to help implement this very regimented throwing program that he will have. So it's going to be happening soon, but this addition of Tyler Huntley is also about making sure that they're not rushing Deshaun.
Yeah, and that's really important. Like, he's coming back from this unprecedented surgery. We don't know how that recovery is going to go. We don't know. Could there be setbacks? Could there, you know, we just don't know what could happen when he gets out there and starts throwing. And so, again, when we're sitting out there watching these practices in May and June, I don't know, Ashley, if you want Deshaun Watson taking a million reps. I think I'd rather see DTR and Tyler Huntley and Jameis Winston taking reps instead of really overdoing it with Deshaun Watson, because you got to get him to training camp and you want him to be ready for camp. And then more importantly, you want him to be ready for the season.
Yeah, I do think it's just really important to gauge where he's at. And again, it's such an unprecedented injury for a quarterback, especially considering it's his throwing shoulder. So I do think with a recovery like this one, there's going to need to be some trial and error, right? They're going to have to go into an OTA session one day and being like, okay, we're going to have Deshaun do X, Y, and Z, and maybe X and Z, he'll be fine, but Y is going to bother him. You know what I mean? So I do think there is going to need to be some of that. And it's going to have to be this collaborative process of Deshaun, you know, being like, okay, this didn't sit super well with the shoulder today, and what can we do to fix that? And you're just kind of going through that nature of rehabbing a season-ending injury. But there's just this added factor of, hey, we can't really compare this to anything else. And I know people are probably sick of us or me saying that, but it's just the reality. It's the nature of this injury. It's an uncommon injury. And again, we have not found another quarterback that dealt with this exact type of fracture in their shoulder socket. So it's tough. And I think that makes it harder. But again, the more bodies you have to kind of throw at the problem so you're not overdoing it with him early, I think is for the better for everyone.
I think the other thing to keep in mind too here is, and we haven't gotten an update yet on him, but I mean, Mary Kay, DTR is coming off a season-ending injury, too. I think people sort of forget that because he became a little bit of an afterthought. you know, once they brought Joe Flacco in. But DTR didn't finish the season either. He had, it was a hip injury. And, you know, I remember seeing him on crutches in the locker room the one day. So we don't exactly know how far along DTR is in his recovery and what he's going to be able to do come spring.
Right. That is absolutely another factor. He might be limited as well. So they've got to hedge their bets here and make sure that they have what they need to get through all of these practices. And they're hoping they have another week to training camp and a fifth preseason game again. And if they get what they want, they're going to be starting training camp July 20th, adding another week onto their season, another week on these quarterbacks' arms and legs. And so absolutely they need another quarterback. But that, you know, that's a great point. Everybody kind of forgets that DTR underwent this hip injury. It was long enough ago that we just assume that he is, not that he's completely 100% and ready to roll, but we don't know that for sure.
Listen, I know nobody ever wants to hear sports writers complain about their jobs. I get that. But I do want to cry a little bit every time you bring that up, Mary Kay. An extra week of camp, a fourth preseason game. I just thought one of the happiest days of my life is when they decided to go to three preseason games. That was literally like, that's like top three day in my life. But here we are potentially covering a fourth preseason game in an extra week. I don't, again, hey, I get it. Nobody wants to hear sports writers complain, but I don't know. Ashley, four preseason, I mean, you've barely gotten to experience joy of a three preseason game preseason.
Really, I only got to experience it one time because my first season covering this team, I came in week eight, so I didn't even have to experience the full regular season. But, and I know we've talked about this before, but I just keep thinking about this. The last couple of days, especially, it's like this team had so many injuries last year. I'm just, so from that perspective, forget about us, which, again, hard to do because we're in our feelings on this segment of the pod. I think about what our schedule might look like and how it might be impacted. But all the injuries this team dealt with, I'm like, do you really want to add that extra week and potentially have this extra travel, especially if you do end up being the Brazil game, crossing the equator on some crazy, like, 15-hour flight or whatever it's going to end up being? I'm just, it does genuinely concern me if that's what their season ends up being. And okay, you have the extra camp and you're going to be in the Greenbrier for 10 days and you have the extra preseason game and maybe you're going to Brazil. Maybe you have that international game. I am concerned. I think that part of it alone is a fair enough reason to have questions, just knowing all the injuries this team dealt with. I think it's a fair question to ask and say, hey, is this all ultimately going to be worth it? Because did that contribute? I don't know the answer, like how much that lengthened season contributed to some wear and tear injuries they had down the stretch. I don't know if anybody can know the exact answer for that, but I don't know that it's helpful in that regard.
Okay. Enough being in our feelings here. Ashley took us back to football, so let's stay on the football side of it. Mary Kay, let's spend a little more time on DTR. Obviously a guy they picked last year in the fifth round to sort of be a long-term backup to Deshaun Watson. It didn't go great last year. I think it was hard to really watch DTR and come away feeling like, okay, the Browns definitely have something here. It's still very early. How does this move affect Dorian Thompson-Robinson, though? We obviously know Deshaun is the starter and Jameis is the backup. So that leaves one spot on the 53 for one of these guys. I would still assume it would be DTR, but I guess I wouldn't rule out Tyler Huntley winning that job. How do you think this impacts DTR long-term, if it does at all?
I know that the Browns still really like DTR as a long-range developmental prospect. So I don't really know that this speaks too much to DTR and the impact that it will have on him. I think, once again, it's an opportunity to take a closer look at another young quarterback whose skill set translates with some other guys in the room, including Deshaun Watson. I know they still like DTR. This is not casting him aside or replacing him in any way, but he needs more time. And obviously, the Browns realized that he was not going to be the number two quarterback heading into this season. They needed something more than that in this high-stakes season. We saw some good things from DTR. He got thrown into the fire way too early. He wasn't necessarily ready for what he had to do on such short notice against the Ravens that day. And then in some other games, he was still a little bit in over his head. So chance for him to continue to work, continue to develop, and really learn not just only from Deshaun Watson, but now also from Jameis Winston, who I think is going to be a tremendous, tremendous mentor in the room.
Yeah, I mean, thinking way ahead here, I still would be a little cynical about if they could get him through waivers to the 53, you know, when it comes time to do that, because I'm sure there's some team out there that was like, yeah, we really liked DTR in the draft process, and maybe they'd grab him in a situation like that. But I could see a situation where, you know, either Tyler Huntley's on the practice squad or DTR's on the practice squad. I think, Ashley, they'll figure some way out to make sure that DTR is still on this roster, because we know Andrew doesn't like to give up on draft picks, and I can't imagine that they're ready to just be out on Dorian Thompson-Robinson after one season.
Yeah, as we've seen, it takes a lot for him, I think, for Andrew to make that leap and just be totally out on a guy they drafted. And, I mean, we know all the reasons they liked DTR, and it goes beyond all the games and experience he got starting in college. We know he already had this pre-established relationship with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, his skill set is not exactly the same because, again, not comparing him to Deshaun Watson in that way. But because if he was, obviously, the starts would have been a lot better. But I do think, like, being able to run that similar system means a lot to them. Just that relationship in the quarterback room. Obviously, Mary Kay's written and reported a lot about that. We know that that's important to them. So I do think all those other things, yes. But I wouldn't be surprised, like you're saying, this is basically what they did last year. They did have a guy on the practice squad. So I do think ultimately that is, you know, maybe where this is headed, just because that's how we saw them operate last year in a similar situation.
I do think we can say definitive. I don't think there's a debate here. I mean, this quarterback room, Mary Kay, is better than it was, you know, going into last season, you know, even with Josh Dobbs as the backup. I think the Jameis thing with a little space. And when you take the emotion out of it, I can't get worked up about choosing Jameis over Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe was great guy in the locker room. He was good to us. I think he was good for that team. What he did was incredible. But I can still understand that move. I understand why you go a little younger there. A guy that is probably a little bit better of a scheme fit, like you've said, than Joe was. So I get that. And I think if you're choosing between Tyler Huntley and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, that's better than where you were when you were choosing between DTR and Kellen Mond. So I think this is all a good thing for the Browns. I think they've learned their lesson from last year that having a really strong quarterback room and having potentially three guys, if we're talking about Tyler, who could start a football game if you needed him to, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm going to be writing about this a little bit probably when we finish taping here, and that is they did have conversations about bringing back Joshua Dobbs. They did do that, but Joshua Dobbs was dismayed by the fact that he was traded so suddenly to the Cardinals that I just don't know that he's over that yet. I don't know he's ready to come back here yet because of what happened with that. I think that was a jolt to the system. And even though it was good for him because he got an opportunity to go start games in Arizona and Minnesota, but I still think that the way that it transpired was such a shock to the system that I just don't know if he's there yet. So I'm just going to write a few paragraphs about that because I've figured out a little bit more about that over the last 24 hours. And so I think that's something that we should bring up. He is a free agent right now. And I know a lot of people probably think, why didn't they sign Josh Dobbs instead of Tyler Huntley? So that was another thing to consider. And I'm sure, you know, money talks too. If they threw enough money at Joshua Dobbs, perhaps his feelings wouldn't be hurt anymore. But at this point, that's where that stands.
Okay, yeah, so that's interesting. The Dobbs versus Huntley here. Look, we got to talk about Josh Dobbs on our podcast. It's like a rule. Our buddy Jay will be so happy. you know, I would have been fine with either Ashley, and the fact that Tyler Huntley came here on a vet minimum, I'm sure Josh Dobbs is looking for more than that. I know they paid him pretty well last year to potentially be the backup, and then they pivoted away from that. But again, I understand why they did it. I just am more confident in this quarterback room now than I was last year, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, too, it's just like, especially after they traded Josh Dobbs, I'm looking at what that quarterback room was at that time. I think, yeah, they're just putting themselves in a better spot. But it is interesting, the whole Josh Dobbs thing. Like, I honestly wouldn't have guessed that, Mary Kay. I'm kind of, like, surprised hearing that, just because, like you said, he did get that opportunity to go out that year and start some games. But it makes sense hearing about it because, again, when that trade happened, he had just been named the backup officially. I mean, Kevin Stefanski sat there in front of us, and Dan, you talked to him for an interview that will never see the light of day now, famously. Maybe you could play some clips of it on the pod one day or something for our loyal listeners.
It might be gone. It might be lost forever.
No. I mean, it was set in stone. So I can understand that would then be a jolt to the system to, hey, maybe just leaving the slightest bad taste in your mouth just enough to not want to come back to a place because you feel like it maybe put your future up in the air a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I do feel like just knowing the styles of the guys they have in that room, it seems like a better, more experienced group than they had this time last year even.
And by the way, I just, like, this isn't revisionist history. I'm fairly certain on this pod we all expressed some concerns about this time a year ago about that quarterback room, even with Josh Dobbs in it. That kind of, are we sure that this is good enough behind Deshaun Watson? So I think we all expressed concerns about sort of what they were doing in that quarterback room behind Deshaun. And so this is just a complete 180, Mary Kay.
Yes, I think if you went back and dredged up a few of our old pods from that time, you would find that we did express concerns about that. I know that I was very concerned about heading into the season without an experienced veteran backup quarterback. I didn't even think that Joshua Dobbs was at the level that they needed, with the stakes being as high as they were heading into the season. So that's why that trade didn't necessarily rock my world, because I didn't even think that he was ready to be the backup quarterback for this team in that situation. I did think that they needed a more Jacoby Brissett style quarterback. So they're in much better shape this year. I think that Jameis Winston will flourish in this offense. I think he'll be totally fine. And then they've got some good young developmental backups. So they are in good shape regardless of what happens.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about another quarterback room in the AFC North with some news that happened over the weekend. I'm back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast on a Monday. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. So, the Pittsburgh Steelers have remade their quarterback room completely. They now have, of course, Russell Wilson. We talked about that a little bit. But then they go out and they make a trade for Justin Fields. Now, Mary Kay, you said after the Russell Wilson signing that you thought maybe trading for Justin Fields would have been a better option for the Steelers. It always seemed like, for whatever reason, the two were connected. Like, hey, Pittsburgh should go get Justin Fields. That connection always seemed to be there. It finally comes to fruition. I'll be honest. I think people went a little bit crazy over the move. I still don't think that's some amazing quarterback room, but I think it's a better quarterback room than it was a year ago. And Mary Kay, I think it's a really intriguing move. And of course, it's one that could have ripple effects across the AFC North, depending on how it all shakes out over the next couple of years.
It really could. It really, really could. And when you look at their situation right now, no one really knows for sure if Russell Wilson or Justin Fields is going to be starting games for them this season. I initially said, oh, Justin Fields is going to be facing the Browns twice. And I was like, I had to go back and modify that. I'm thinking, wait a minute, that might not be the case. It could be Russell Wilson. So we don't know how that's going to go yet. I'm sure they're going to have a very robust and healthy quarterback competition. And it's going to be fascinating to see how that turns out. You would almost think that Russell Wilson, if it gets to the point where it seems like he's not going to be starting games for them, would want out. He's going to want to go somewhere where he can start. So maybe the Steelers parlay that into some kind of a draft pick or whatever. So very, very interesting. They're in much better shape, obviously, than they were. And I think it also goes to show that it's pretty darn easy to make a mistake on a first-round quarterback. It's very, very easy to make a mistake. It happens all the time. And when you do make that mistake, you just have to find a way to recover from it. And it's going to take capital of some sort, either draft capital or money, or in some cases, both, like in the case of the Browns.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting things ever since the 2011 CBA and that rookie scale came in is it did make it a little easier, at least, to move on from those mistakes. You know, you don't want to have a bunch of number one draft picks to try and have to recover from those mistakes, obviously. That's what the Browns found themselves in. They almost got too good to use a draft pick to replace Baker Mayfield. So they had to go and trade for Deshaun Watson. But financially, at least, moving on from a Kenny Pickett, you didn't pay the guy $50 million guaranteed right out of school. So at least that has helped teams move on. And I think they've gotten smarter with kind of moving on from Kenny Pickett, moving on from Justin Fields, whatever it might be. I mean, Ashley, when this trade happened on, I think it was Saturday, what were your first thoughts?
This is so Steelers to me. Like, it just reads like a Steelers move. Like, they're not going to, number one, I mean, I think the fact that they just so easily moved on from Kenny Pickett, which happened before the trade for Justin Fields. But it's like not getting stuck in that sunk cost fallacy, which, like you said, Dan, some of those CBA changes and the way they pay rookies now, it makes it easier to not do that. But still, like, not getting stuck in, hey, we took this guy in the first round a couple of years ago, maybe we think there could still be something there. Like, no, when it became apparent it wasn't going to work anymore, they were like, bye. And then the fact that, you know, Russell Wilson, while we've talked about this, he brings a certain, I think, institutional knowledge and pedigree, but he is getting slightly older and he is on that older side of the spectrum now for quarterbacks. So why not hedge your bets and take Justin Fields, who's still relatively young? And my first thought was getting Justin Fields with Mike Tomlin. Like, Mike Tomlin has to be licking his chops right now and knowing what he has, and they have time. They don't have to rush him. They can get him in their system and their culture and see what they can do. And maybe it won't work out, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to cost them much if it doesn't, if either one of those guys doesn't work out or both of them don't work out. So my first thought was, this is just so Steelers. And I think Justin Fields is really lucky to have landed with Mike Tomlin. I don't know that there's maybe a better coach out there that would have been a great fit for him, because we know how much guys love playing for him.
I just had a moment because I said something there, how you don't have to guarantee these guys $50 million anymore. That's a very dated reference, because isn't that like what Tim Couch got when he came out of college, was like $50 million. And that was like, oh my God. I remember when Kirk Cousins signed, he got like $80 million guaranteed not that long ago. And that was shocking. And now we're talking about, I mean, like Caleb Williams, if there were no rookie scale, I don't even want to think what the Bears would have to pay him, taking him number one overall. It would almost be prohibitive, I would think. So the game has changed immensely since 2000, believe it or not. You know, Mary Kay, again, I don't know. I mean, look, nobody wanted Russell Wilson, obviously. Justin Fields went for a lot less than I think people thought. So I don't know if this is going to end up being a game changer or not, or affect the outcome of the AFC North. But again, I think it's a good low risk gamble for the Steelers to take, considering they're just in a position where they can't go draft the top guy. They can't go sign one of, you know, they couldn't afford Kirk Cousins or whatever. So I don't know. I like this move for the Steelers. It makes sense. It's a very common sense move for them, which you'd expect.
Yes. And here's the other thing about it, is the fact that when you have a really, really good defense, your quarterback doesn't necessarily have to be Superman. If you can be getting turnovers and putting him on a short field and really supporting your quarterback, that goes a long, long way towards winning football games. And the Steelers always find a way to win. So if they can muster a really good running game, if they can build their lines, and continue to have a really, really good defense. And they've got Patrick Queen now. They've got some really good things going on. If they can do that, then Justin Fields, if he's the guy, can be brought along and supported in a way that will allow them to continue to win and maybe even make the playoffs with him. So it's very, very interesting. Can't wait to see how this all works out. Life after Ben Roethlisberger has been challenging for them at quarterback, but they're just going to keep taking swings at the plate until they figure it out.
Okay, there we go. Quarterbacks in the AFC North. Ashley, do you remember when Tyler Huntley went in your guys' backup quarterback drafts? I forgot to go back and find that podcast.
We were really high. And for context, guys, that was an off-season podcast that I did with Doug and Scott. I think Dan and Mary Kay were both off on like July weeks off. And this was definitely an off-season. Hey, we need to talk about something. So what are we going to do? We're going to draft backup QB rooms. And I want to say they might have went first overall. But maybe, Dan, I can look it up right after we get off of this, and maybe you can add a little voice note at the end of this pod and confirm whether I was right. But I'll go and find it.
I'm not going to. If somebody really wants to find out, they need to go back in our feed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and find that. That was in the days when we had three-game preseasons and we didn't report to training camp until late July, and it was in Berea. Simpler times back then. Oh, one more thing. I think we should talk about this too, because we actually had to sign off our last pod when this happened, so we didn't get a chance to talk much about it, Mary Kay. Mike Vrabel, going to be a consultant, working with Kevin, working with Andrew. I like the move. Obviously, as everyone knows, I am a big Mike Vrabel fan, just as a coach. I'm all for bringing in smart guys to help out, and I think Mike Vrabel fits that mold. So I guess just your thoughts on Vrabel coming in.
Well, I think we are a very pro-Vrabel podcast, right? The orange and brown talk. We really, really like Mike Vrabel a lot. Some of it is the fact that he's from right down the road in Akron, went to Walsh Jesuit, started Ohio State, but he's just a really good football coach. And he's funny. We like his personality. We always talk about, you know, some of the funny things that we hear him say in press conferences and things like that. I mean, I think he's somebody that we could have on the pod here, and maybe we will someday. He's somebody that we could have on the pod, and I think we would have a lot of fun with that. So yes, I think it's a great addition to the Cleveland Browns. It's an opportunity for him to stay in the game, to stay relevant, to stay on top of the trends while he is waiting for that next coaching opportunity. I don't think there's a big conspiracy theory here. I think that Kevin Stefanski got to know him over the years, really likes him, respects him. We've seen that Kevin Stefanski really likes using mentors and appreciates veteran wisdom as far as coaches are concerned. And Andrew Berry will use him as another pair of eyes in the personnel game. So he helped them at the NFL Combine. He will continue to do so. He'll be around some, maybe not full time. I don't think he's going to have an office next to Kevin Stefanski, but he's going to be around and he will be a big help.
Yeah. And, you know, it's worth noting they lost Bill Callahan, who I know Kevin leaned on a lot, and he did have an office right next to Kevin. You know, they lost Stump Mitchell, who was a veteran guy in that building too. They've lost some veteran coaches. So adding Mike Vrabel is big. Speaking of drafts, Mike Vrabel went fourth in our coaches draft last year. So
that's right.
He's always right up there in those drafts. I think he's a good coach. He might be out of this consultant job by like mid-November. Like might be somebody that fires their coach early and decides to hire Mike Vrabel. So I don't think he's long for Cleveland, but again, more smart guys, kind of a different sort of personality than maybe what the Browns have. Even if he's not in that building every day, I like it, Ashley.
Yeah, I know you mentioned it as one of your favorite moves in your newsletter from Sunday morning, I believe. I wrote about it as another one of the underrated moves I think the Browns have made, just because, like we said, this consultant role is, in theory, a smaller, quote-unquote, role, because it's not that traditional coach title. But, I mean, it's the fact that he knows about defenses. He knows, obviously, very close with Jim Schwartz, on top of being, you know, another guy that Kevin Stefanski can bounce ideas off of. And he knows how to evaluate players too. I mean, that's a part of it. So he can really just do it all. I think it's insane that, like you said, Dan, in your newsletter, that he didn't get a job, I think, this coaching cycle. So the fact that they were able to get him for this, like, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? You'd be crazy not to.
Okay, there we go. Maybe we'll see Mike Vrabel on the field doing drills. I know he's like notorious for getting out there on the practice field and doing drills with his team. So maybe we'll get to see him do that. Maybe he'll play a little quarterback if they need to take some reps off of Deshaun Watson or whoever else. So Vrabe's in the building kind of for the Cleveland Browns. So that'll do it for this edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Subscribe both of those places. Become a Football Insider subscriber, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. Find us on Instagram, search Orange and Brown Talk. And of course, find us on YouTube, search Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.